We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's going on? Welcome in. Episode 127 of Hogan Johns. Happy bye week. Kinda.
Not yet.
Not really for us.
I'm not really buying it yet.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit of work through, well, today. We're recording on Wednesday today because of the Bears' schedule. The Bears are practicing. They practiced Tuesday, and then they're practicing today, which is Wednesday, and then they will break tomorrow.
Correct.
Well, technically later today they'll break,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be off for the weekend. So, and a lot's happened this week. There is a ton of news to get to. The latest on Zach Miller's scary injury. Jarrell Freeman pops up out of nowhere with a big story this week. There's been trades all over. There was rumors about Josh Sitton that we'll address. And, of course, the Jimmy Garoppolo, AJ McCarron stuff, which I think is at least a big enough story from an NFL standpoint. And then, of course, the links to the Bears in the offseason before they went out and got Trubisky. There's some interesting conversation to be had there. So we'll dive into all that. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano. You can follow him at Joey Joe Rowe. You can read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. You can search for the podcast on iTunes. Subscribe there. Just search Hogan Johns. Rate and review it. It's on TuneIn and the WGN Radio app as well. You caught your breath from all the news that came out since the game on Sunday, which the Bears did lose.
Well, some of it's good news. I think the Zach Miller development, while it's awful that he is going to be forever changed, at least in the immediate future, next year or so, it's glad to hear that his leg wasn't amputated, mm-hmm. to put it frankly. He's a husband. He's a father. He posts videos of his kid all the time.
Yeah,
playing with his kid. That's what I thought as a father.
Yeah, I was. I got to be honest. Like when I saw Chris Mortensen's tweet on Monday morning, I was in the New Orleans airport, walking to my gate to get home, and I mean the idea that he possibly could lose his leg was we discussed this on the post game podcast that it was already a huge bummer beyond football. It was already beyond football at that point. Just that guy who had worked so hard to get through so many injuries to have it clearly at that point we knew it was a serious leg injury. We didn't know it was that serious.
Yeah.
And then so at this point I'm just thinking, come on, like just please don't let him lose his leg. Because at this point, it's just about living a happy, healthy life, being able to play with his kids. I was actually kind of emotional about it. Just and on the flight home, just being like, man, I hope I land to better news because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. The old argument that players know what they sign up for, they don't sign up for this. I think that only applies to understanding the risks of maybe with concussions, your occasional torn ACL, a couple dislocated fingers, but to have your knee completely explode to where you could lose your entire lower left leg? No, no, no. This was a freak injury. His artery behind his knee was completely shredded. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It is. We'll get into that a little bit more as well as the touchdown that wasn't. Because I got a little information to share on that. But first, let's get to our voicemails from Sunday. The Bears did lose, and we got plenty of voicemails. I'm sure not happy. Big picture-wise, 3-5, not the end of the world for this team specifically. But obviously, you'd like to win a game like that. And going forward, the phone number is 312-222-5050. You're always welcome to chime in on our voicemail line. So let's hear what you guys had to say on Sunday.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail. The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
We
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Jeremy from beautiful Denver, Colorado. I wanted to get on the Bold Prediction Fund this week and say that both Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen have 100 all-purpose yards against the Saints. Let's get to 500. Bear down. Happy Halloween.
No. Gary from Boynton Beach, Florida. Ooh, Mitch is running. Woo! How about that run, baby?
This is Sean in Arizona. You got to cut Connor Barf. He freaking sucks. He misses almost every kick. He's horrible. You have to cut him in the bye week and sign somebody else just to make a statement to the rest of the team. And then Pace needs to fire Fox at the end of the season. Fire Low Gaines. Fire everyone. Please, God, find a real coach.
Joe from the Bronx calling. Listen, I think I figured out Fox's strategy. Run. Give the guy third and long with no wide receivers and an obvious passing down or everyone's going to blitz. Because if he can do this, the rest of his career will be easy. Brilliant strategy by John Fox. Definitely extend him.
Eric from Los Angeles, California. You know, you run the ball all game, and then when it comes down to third and one, you can't get the ball to Jordan Howard to get 1 yard on two plays. I don't understand the play calling.
Brian from Minnesota. Kyle Long, while I respect the heck out of his toughness, reminds me of a Christmas story. Dude is just fragile. Cannot stay healthy for 16 games. Can't be caught in on. Dude is like fine china.
Hey now, Chauncey from Columbus, Ohio, Bear Fan 80 on Twitter. O-line played horrible, didn't help Mitch much. Imagine if he had a decent offensive line and mediocre receivers that could actually get separation, what kind of quarterback he would be. Speedy recovery to Zach Miller, horrible call on that touchdown. NFL is the most inconsistent league of our time. Answer this on the way out. What is a catch? Bear down.
Ben from Cincinnati. If that Zach Miller catch wasn't a touchdown, nothing has been a catch for the last 50 years. The NFL should be embarrassed by that ruling. Also, why is Val Loggins calling it two passes with 1 yard to go late in the game? Am I missing something?
Holcomb's Adam from Norway calling in. This team is a couple of wide receivers and some better coaches away from being actually good. I just feel gutted after this. But this is the second time Mitchell has thrown an interception in the 2 minute drill with the game on the line. What's that about?
Juan from Chicago. I'm wondering when Ryan Pace is going to start getting some heat. I mean, drafting Shaheen, who isn't that good, and then drafting Trubisky over Watson when Watson is balling out.
D from Dallas. John Fox is not the guy we want developing Mitch Trubisky. I just made that conclusion today. I would really be curious to see what Mitch Trubisky would do if he had a DeAndre Hopkins and a Will Fuller at receiver.
The Bears just told Mitch Trubisky that he's going to have to figure it out for the rest of the season. How does it make any sense that we don't trade for a receiver on a team that does not have any receivers? This doesn't make any sense. I'm tired of the Bears.
Tim from Milwaukee calling at @rock_beats_paper on Twitter. Calling to eat some crow. I told you guys that I'd be starting Tanner Gentry, and I did. He got me a total of 0. The real news of today, just praying for Zach Miller. I can't even think about it. Hopefully he's going to pull through.
Big Easy from Brooklyn. I love the show. As far as the wide receivers go, yo, if y'all want money and y'all want to get that money, y'all got to catch balls, bro. Let's get it. Get that money, boy. Get it.
Yes, hi. This is Arnold calling from the gym. We need to terminate these refs and the terrible play calling. And I have one message for Dowell Loggins. Get to the end zone!
Alrighty. Okay. Wow. A lot of negativity in there. First thing first, they did trade for a wide receiver. They literally just traded for a wide receiver. Dontrell Inman.
Correct.
So
7th round conditional pick.
Right. And if you want them to give up anything more for, I mean, T.Y. Hilton probably would have cost you a second rounder, a high second round pick, if not more.
Mm-hmm. What did Kelvin Benjamin go for?
Kelvin Benjamin went for a 3rd and a 7th, I think.
Okay.
But the Bears don't have a 3rd-round pick.
It's true.
So maybe their 2nd. You know, that I could listen to arguments for that one.
The Benjamin one?
Would you give up a 2nd-round pick for Kelvin Benjamin?
No.
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 No?
No. No.
No.
Okay. Mike Glennon doesn't think so either.
I think he's overrated. I think we saw he was overrated a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, maybe, but...
Big target, I get it. What was he, second-round pick? Or he was first-round pick a couple years ago.
First-round pick, yeah.
Florida State. That sound right?
It's tough. You got to give up a lot, and this is a team that still needs draft picks.
Correct.
So, come on. The other thing I need to address is, I addressed this on Twitter, too. Nothing... I think the thing that every year I do this job, I gain more and more appreciation for it, is what these guys put into it, what they play through.
Oh, in terms of injuries?
In terms of injuries. Okay. I got a ton of tweets during the game. We just had one voicemail that is calling Kyle Long fragile, basically questioning Kyle Long's toughness. If there's one guy in this entire team you should not be questioning his toughness, it's Kyle Long. Mm-hmm. Right now, he is playing
He's taking over the Jay Cutler toughness mantle.
It is unbelievable. This guy's playing through an ankle injury that's still not 100%. Okay, he's playing through a torn labrum in his shoulder, and now he's got a mangled hand, mm-hmm. which my understanding is three of the fingers on his hand were injured in that game the other day. And he was ready to go back into the game. It's the coaches that decided to play a healthier player over him.
Right.
Okay? Right. So this idea that he's fragile, he's missed 10 games in his entire career. 10 games. 9 of them were after his ankle was ripped to shreds.
And required reconstructive surgery.
So really, this guy's missed one game in his entire career other than that. And I believe that was like week 17 or something. Mm-hmm. Of another season where it was just like, all right, shut him down. There's no point in it. So that needs to stop now. Be a better fan. Be a better fan. That these guys don't want to be hurt. It's the same thing with Kevin White. It sucks that Kevin White keeps getting hurt. It's not like he wants to be hurt. There are some players every once in a while that maybe you can call them soft and question their toughness. But for the most part, when you're in the NFL... those guys get weeded out and thrown out of the league very quickly. In college, sure, there's some guys that, you know, they're there to get their scholarship and get out, and maybe they don't want to play through some injuries. In the NFL, you don't last very long you're soft. The coaches know it right away. The doctors know it.
I get the idea that some guys are maybe arguably built better for football. I think, like, look, Lance Briggs had a special durability to him. But Brian Urlacher suffered all sorts of injuries.
Yeah.
Matt Forte dealt with all sorts of things, but he invested a lot of money in maintaining his health. Kyle Long is the same. He hurt his hand by locking up with a defensive lineman. It was a freak thing. He locks up with him. He's away from the play. The guy kind of rips his way out of it, and his hand gets caught, mangled, and it's what happens with... You see it all the time with these offensive linemen. That's why they wear these big gloves. That's why they tape their fingers. Their hands are just... nasty. You look at some of these old-time offensive linemen.
Defensive linemen, too.
Oh, yeah. Their hands are disgusting. Yeah. Old linebackers, Dick Butkus' hands, disgusting.
Yeah. That just needs to stop. And I don't know why all of a sudden, like, there's this... if I get one tweet from an idiot, I usually don't address it. It's only when I get, like, a ton of them.
Okay.
And that's...
And it was about Long?
Yeah. During the game. I tweeted the same thing. Guys missed 10 games. 9 of them were after a terrible ankle injury.
Yeah.
It just needs to... The guy...
I think some people are underestimating what type of injury he had with that ankle.
I think they are too, and I don't get it.
Yeah. Everything was ripped to shreds.
His legs are still not matched in terms of muscle mass on those legs.
The atrophy, yeah.
The atrophy's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It just needs to stop. All right, the other thing, obviously, a lot of people were upset about in the voicemails was the Zach Miller play, why the touchdown got taken off. Now, I thought, and we talked about this after the game, that I thought Carl Cheffer's explanation, the referee's explanation in the pool report, which is garbage, didn't clarify anything.
No.
Just that, we thought the ball hit the ground, and so we ruled it that way. Well, no kidding. Duh. Where did it hit the ground, right? Was it when he made contact with the ground, in which case there's no indisputable evidence whatsoever that the ball hit the ground there? Or was it when he rolled over and put it on the ground?
Himself, yes, when he was hurt.
And I thought, based on this dumb rule that the NFL has, that that was what the ruling was. Now, they didn't clarify this, so that's what I was guessing. because when he first hit the ground, there was no shots that showed the ball hit. It looked like it moved a little bit. It looked like maybe it could have hit the ground, but there was absolutely no visual evidence that showed that. Well, I did get clarification on this, and I was told that the ruling was made based off when he first hit the ground, not when he rolled over and put it on the ground. That was not why it was reversed. It was reversed because...
Oh, that's even more egregious.
Isn't it? Isn't it? There was no shot, unless they have some other shot that we didn't see. There was no shot that showed the ball hitting the ground there. It's unbelievable that they overturned it.
Horrendous golf. Forget about the win, putting them back in the game. That is the last play probably of Zach Miller's career.
That's how his career ended, right there.
With a touchdown taken away. On a bad... Did you see the Pro Football Talks? They aggregated the comments from Blandino and Mike Pereira.
Yeah.
Who's former heads of officiating. And they basically said the league got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they would know better than others. Dean Blandino literally rewrote these rules.
They said both of them were in agreement that if it had been called incomplete on the field, they would have reversed it to a touchdown.
Right.
They would have done the opposite.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
What were they looking
yeah,
at?
Yeah. I mean, forget the in-game implications there. I get it. The Bears would have a better chance to win. They'd have some momentum. That was an amazing throw by Mr. Trubisky. Maybe he feels more confident. Maybe he establishes a rhythm. Fine. But that's the last play of Zach Miller's career. That's awful. That's awful.
What pisses me off is where's the accountability? That wasn't the only call, by the way, across the NFL where there was questionable reversals. Pereira pointed out three.
I imagine there is some level of internal accountability we'll never hear about. I don't think they're fined. I think they just lose assignments later in the playoffs. That's money to them, and I think they lose their jobs eventually.
It's Alberto Riveron.
Riveron,
who's now taking over Blandino's role of... It's ultimately his final call in New York. They talk about it with the referees at the game, and they consult on it. You know, in college, they have a replay official at every single game whose job is to concentrate on that single game.
Yeah.
Now, in other sports, this idea of a war room where the official, where, you know, everything.
Hockey's got it. Yeah.
For the most part, I think it's worked. In MLB, they started doing this too. But I don't know. In all three of those sports, there are times, whether it's offsides calls in hockey, there's plenty of questionable replay reversals in baseball that I see all the time.
Yeah.
Where you're just scratching your head and you're going, what? It's probably easier for them to have one centralized location. But I like how college football has replay officials at every single game, and it's their job to handle the reviews at those games. I think that makes the most sense. Where your only job is to work, you got no other distractions, you're concentrated on that game. You saw the play live, too. You know, everything can be... The problem with these war rooms are that they're not... They're probably not even watching the Bears game when that play happens.
No.
And then they get flat, hey, we got this play, we got this review coming in from New Orleans, we got to look at it. And it seems too pressure-packed to me. I don't like it.
I get why you may want to, you know, kind of isolate these guys away from the feelings of the game, but I like your idea of having somebody focusing on each and every game, or college football's establishment of having the focus.
Seems to me college football's always done replay the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the NFL used to have the referee at the game look in a hood on the sideline,
yeah,
and make the decision all by himself.
Yeah. I don't. What was wrong with that idea? Because they were missing him.
Them, but that's why it's good to have help, but why not have a second official upstairs? Then they can communicate together. They're both at the game. You know, it's I don't know. I don't know why. It shouldn't matter. Like, it should work the way they're doing it. It's amazing how many times they get this stuff wrong.
They have complicated the catch rule where common sense doesn't even exist
right
in their approach to it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a catch. The Calvin Johnson play? Catch.
Yeah.
When does common sense come into play? Does Bryant catch?
You know, Northwestern won a football game in Madison a couple years ago where Wisconsin's wide receiver caught the ball, took three steps, fell out of bounds, and then lost it. And based on the rule, it's not a catch. They called it right. Wisconsin fans were pissed. But based on the rule, they actually called that one right. Northwestern won the game. Stupid rule, though.
Yep.
And I think Northwestern even came away from that being like, yeah, okay, we'll take it. But, you know, you talk about common sense. It's the thing. To me, you catch the ball in your hands, you have 2 feet down, it's a catch.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever happens after that, it shouldn't matter.
You know, I get the idea if it hits the ground at some point, okay, it's not a catch. I get it. But there's the Miller thing. When he first lands, that is so egregious. I do not see where the ball ever hits the ground.
There's no shot of it. There's absolutely no way that they should have overturned that. It's just garbage. It's just garbage. And then unfortunately, there's just, you know, the sad reality of Zach Miller's situation. Now, someone tweeted last night a picture of, did his wife put out this? But George McCaskey delivered the football to him in the hospital.
Really?
Yeah.
So he flew down there, went back down there or something like that?
Yeah. And then someone, I don't know this whole story about, there's a kid with cancer that...
Yeah, Dan Weider of the Tribune did a whole story profile on that in training camp.
Eric Kremen is, I don't know, he's the one that posted this on, at E. Kremen's 1366 is the one who posted this photo. It said it's from Zach Miller's wife, Kristen, and it says the TD ball has been delivered. And it's a picture of George giving the football to Zach, who's laying in his hospital bed holding it. So pretty cool.
I think the Bears will take care of Zach Miller.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy who he's more than just a player. You know what I'm saying? Some players transcend just the playing field.
Yeah, he's got some options.
Yes.
You know, he could, I don't know if he wants to go into coaching.
Broadcasting.
Yeah. He'd be great. He's a good speaker. He could, you know, do stuff behind the scenes
in
the front office.
The old ambassador role.
Whatever. The Bears will do, there's no question, the Bears will do right with Zach Miller. And I don't think he's going anywhere. But
no.
I'd be surprised if he ever plays again. Yeah. It's a really unfortunate situation. And not the only, what's crazy about what happened Monday is this was not the only player on the Bears dealing with career-threatening type of situation.
Yeah.
So it comes out that Jarrell Freeman, who's been on IR since week one with a torn pec, but also suffered a concussion in that week one game, was suspended 10 games for once again violating the league's substance abuse policy. And it's 10 games because last year he was suspended for 4 games. So this is his second ding in 2 years. And he comes out with what I thought was a pretty heartfelt, honest statement, just opening it up about some of the issues he's been dealing with. And basically saying that, I'm trying to find the tweet right here. It is. I'll just read you what he wrote. I hate to say I'm sorry again, but I'm sorry. I've been on IR all year, and you try and stay out of sight, but sorry for the distraction. I had been lying to friends, family, and loved ones when it came to the question of, are you okay? Knowing my career may be over due to everything that came with the head injury, and then in parentheses he says, that's been purposely downplayed by me. Memory loss and all has actually been a bit of a struggle. That being said, there's no excuse to cope with any problems by taking any kind of pills. I don't know my future, but a big thanks to the Bears and the NFL. If I would have used their programs and services earlier than I did, I wouldn't be in this situation. Sorry again for the distraction.
That's scary too. And I kind of don't like that John Fox kept saying I'm disappointed.
But here's the thing about that. And I was not at House Hall at a late flight back, so I was in the car driving from O'Hare home, and I'm listening on the radio to the press conference live. So I wasn't there. I didn't know for sure if John Fox had not seen Jarrell Freeman's statement, but it seemed pretty obvious that he had not.
Yeah.
I don't think he, at that point, as he's addressing this, had any idea still what Jarrell Freeman had been going through. I think he was just looking at it like, Player got suspended second time in 2 years. Not happy with it.
Isn't it the head coach's job to know? Even if Freeman's timing it?
I think that's fair.
I mean, obviously he timed it to be released immediately after the Bears released the announcement that he's suspended.
Yeah, however, there are multiple typos in this thing, and it looks like it was written in the Notes app on his iPhone.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much...
Like he did it...
It doesn't look like a completely fully prepared statement.
He did it immediately.
Yeah, I don't...
Either way, that's a scary... All right, then maybe not, let me ease off on Fox. But I know what you're saying. But
I think there's an excuse for Fox. I still agree with you. I'm a little... It seems like the Bears should have had a better idea what's going on. Because it's not like Drell Freeman's been hanging out at home. We've seen him at Hallis Hall.
Yeah. But I'm guessing he's not there a lot. I'm guessing he's not talking to a lot of coaches a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to Glenn Pyers, his position coach, yesterday. And Glenn said he had no idea.
Yeah. Even Fox said he hasn't seen him around.
But we've seen... I saw him wearing sunglasses in the building for a while after this injury.
Yeah.
So I had a feeling that the concussion symptoms were bothering him.
You know, guys walk... Josh Bellamy, he's always wearing sunglasses around the building.
Yeah, but this was... Jarrell Freeman does... I don't know. Yeah. I pay attention to this kind of stuff.
I also know he's not playing. But I also know guys wear sunglasses inside. I know what you're saying. Now, looking back at it, you...
But it wasn't like one time. Yeah. It was... Every single day I saw him walking down the hall or whatever. It was clear to me. It rang as this guy's dealing with concussion symptoms,
light sensitivity.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
I don't know that. So when this came out, I don't know. Some people didn't even believe it. Some people thought it was just an excuse for using PEDs. I don't know why he would be using PEDs when he's dealing with a pec injury and not playing anyway.
Yeah. So if he is, I'm taking it. Is comments at face value, right?
It seemed like an honest, and again, going off of what I've seen from him in there, to me, there seems to be a lot of evidence that he's dealing with concussion symptoms. I think there's some honesty here. I believe him.
Well, it's on the Bears to take care of him a bit. If he is experiencing some serious concussion symptoms weeks after the concussion actually happened.
Now, here's the problem. Get him some help. Isn't he not allowed in the building while he's suspended?
Oh, that's probably right.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
So, it makes it harder. But, I don't know. They got
to
support
him. I'm sure they could still make a phone call to his agent and just make getting things in line. It's just not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. I mean, with the way head injuries are treated now and should be discussed as part of our jobs and everybody's lives now who work, cover, digest football as fans. This should be treated very seriously. You have a linebacker who, at least in his statement, is struggling with a concussion, who's wearing sunglasses around inside a building, and is taking pills to feel better. He needs help.
Yeah, and again, just real quick, I mean, the fact, I don't know, it seems to me like they should have had a better idea if he's wearing sunglasses around the building, they had to have some idea that he was dealing with this.
Yeah, but like he said, he purposely downplayed it.
Yeah.
And just because I get that he's around the building. Like, Kevin White's been around the building, but you don't see him. Like, I don't know what their type of interactions were with Jarrell Freeman.
Well, this is hard. I mean, I'm not going to... There's a layer of trust that you have to have with the players when it comes to concussions. Now, I see it on the sidelines when, you know, they're doing the concussion evaluations. There's only so much you can see sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the symptoms come on later. Remember, he finished his football game.
Yeah, he didn't want to leave the field.
He played through it. I mean, he played through the pec injury, too. I mean, so...
It takes a different mindset from these players of taking these things more than just seriously, knowing that they're life-changing things.
All right, let's get to some of these big trades that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Garoppolo ends up going to San Francisco for what will end up being an early second-round pick.
Yeah.
You know, it could end up being the first pick. It's probably going to be one of the top two picks in the second round.
Yeah.
So a decent
So almost pick. Like a first round.
Almost like a first round pick. But
higher than when he was picked.
But given how badly it seemed like the Patriots wanted to keep him or get a lot of compensation for him, this surprised me. This trade really caught me off guard Monday.
Did you see Bill Belichick's long-winded explanation of it?
Yeah, and I appreciated his honesty.
Yeah.
Basically said, you know, we tried as hard as we could. We held on to him as long as possible, but we had to get something for him.
Yeah.
So I get it. There's this idea they would have gotten more at the draft time. I have to imagine with all the trades that went down with the quarterbacks on draft night, there had to be some calls to New England about Garoppolo. I know there had been conversations throughout the spring, but the winter and spring, but even on draft night, I had to imagine that there were phone calls being made.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just go back to Adam Schefter's, who's been on top of this Jimmy Garoppolo trade, non-trade story since the beginning. He was so adamant that the Patriots were not trading Jimmy Garoppolo, that they were going to try to keep him. So obviously from that point to yesterday, the attempts to keep him within the parameters, the financial parameters that the New England Patriots wanted, it wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that. So I'm guessing, because Schefter broke the story on the trade, that those changes or the inability to find common ground led them to make sure they get something.
Yeah, and then, I mean, just kind of going back to my own reporting on this back in the spring, from the Bears' standpoint, I think they were along the lines of what Schefter was reporting, that they didn't really think he was going to get traded either.
Yeah,
I think the feeling across the league was, okay, you could get him. I mean, if the Bears offered the number 3 overall pick for him,
right?
The Patriots
were going to do that.
The Patriots would have taken. I'm not saying the Bears were. I don't. Obviously, this is why.
Well, his price probably changed. His trade price changed.
Right.
Yes.
But I mean, had the Bears had the number 20 overall pick, and they wanted their quarterback, and they weren't sure if they were going to get Trubisky or Watson or whoever, you know, maybe that would have made sense. The Bears just never really made sense for this as a trade. You know, you have to have two sides to make a trade, and it just didn't line up.
And I'm sure at that point, again, his price was astronomical. That's probably why he wasn't traded.
Right, right, because then I've seen this a bunch in the last 2 days. Well, why didn't the Bears trade their second-round pick for him? Well, I don't even know if the Patriots would have taken the second-round pick plus what they ended up giving the 49ers to move up one spot. So that would have been a second, two-thirds, and a fourth.
They got Mitch Trubisky.
But what I'm saying is, I don't even think the Patriots would have taken that. They clearly were trying to hold on to him and work something out. Now,
yes.
I will say...
Oh, yeah, the things changed at some point.
Right, something changed, and they clearly did not get as much as they would have had they pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? Maybe the Bears would have been willing to give that up. I don't know. They weren't going to give up the number 3 pick, though.
No.
Because, but yeah, in an alternate universe, would have been great to get Jamal Adams and Jimmy Garoppolo. It would have been pretty nice. But, you know, I'm just saying, I don't think that was really realistic here. And I think the Patriots bungled this a little bit, because I think it's a little naive. When you know that Don Yee...
You're telling me that the Patriots can bungle things?
Yeah, I am. Because Don Yee's the agent of both of these quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo.
So he can't,
why would he ever have his client re-sign there to sit behind Brady for five more years?
Well, and plus, he has a better gauge of the entire situation than anybody.
Yeah. I just... That never... And then it's also, like, we got to know Jimmy a little bit during his draft year. I haven't talked to him much since, but, those 4 months leading up to the draft, I had him on my radio show a number of times, you know, had talked to him. This kid was a competitive kid who really believed in himself and wanted to play. It's great being Tom Brady's backup, and it was probably a great opportunity for him to learn. This dude wants to go start somewhere.
Yeah.
He's not going to re-sign in
Especially
New England.
If Brady wants to play to his four. I get why you want to stay there. You know your coaches. It's a great system. It's the New England Patriots. But if Brady wants to play to his 45, you're not going to see the field.
I just think
you're in your 30s.
I think Belichick severely underestimated that part of this. I don't know. I think that they screwed that up a little bit. But you know what? They ended up getting a high second-round pick. But remember, they drafted him in the second round.
Yeah.
So it's like,
so they improved their pick of, it's going to be what? Maybe the first pick of the second round?
It might be.
I mean, and they drafted him 49ers are 0-8, are they not?
The 49ers are winless, yeah. Yes. And so are the Browns.
Yes. Oh, what?
Which brings us to A.J. McCarron.
Parody.
Oh, my God.
This is one of the most Browns stories.
Like I've been saying for weeks now, everybody in Cleveland, fired. Everybody.
I agree with you.
Everybody but LeBron.
LeBron, yes.
Everybody except LeBron, who lives in Cleveland.
What a crap show.
You're fired. And every week we get more and more evidence.
This story is amazing, by the way. It's my favorite story of this year in the NFL.
Go. Why don't you tell it then?
So the Bengals and Browns agree upon a trade. I forget what the compensation was, but A.J. McCarron is going to the Browns.
I think it was like a second and... Wait, what was the compensation?
It was more than what the Patriots got for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
So obviously...
Which is unbelievable.
Wasn't A.J. McCarron like a fifth or sixth round pick?
Yes, and he sucks.
Yeah.
I should say. Well, I never liked A.J. coming out.
Okay. So... The Bengals file their paperwork, which in this day and age is simply sending an email to the league offices so they can file the transactions before the deadline. They sent their email. The Browns apparently did not.
They sent it to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And all they had to do was copy the NFL on it.
Yes.
So they thought, and this was from Mary Kay Cabot's story that just came out like an hour ago. Like it had a little bit more detail. They sent their email to Cincinnati thinking the Bengals were going to sign the document and send it to the NFL. Which is not that this is front office 101. That's not how it works.
No. Apparently, this is the first trade they've ever.
I don't understand it. I don't know how you could screw that up.
Yeah. I saw a tweet from somebody. I don't know. It was like a secondary source citing what's his name? Tony Grossi, is that his name? The old longtime Browns guy who said that the Browns front office was too busy celebrating.
Yeah,
to do it correctly. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but I like to believe it's true that they were dancing around celebrating the acquisition of A.J. McCarron and forget to...
I mean, maybe they just forgot to CC the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done that. I've sent off emails where I forget to... No, I haven't sent... It's not... I don't know if I've done that with an email that important.
Yeah.
When you're talking about potentially getting your new quarterback.
But this is... There's so many layers to this story. You just drafted Deshaun Kizer, drafted him in the second round, made him your week one starter, who have you benched now, you brought back. What does this say about your...
Right.
Your liking for Deshaun Kizer as your franchise quarterback?
Well, and A.J. McCarron's a restricted free agent in the offseason.
Yes.
So what are you doing? Like...
Yes. Everybody should be fired.
Someone else tweeted this morning, a Cleveland reporter, I'm forgetting who it was, but it was basically like, what is the logic behind bringing in a quarterback that is just going to so maybe you win a couple of games, it's going to prevent you from getting a better quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
What, this is amazing.
And this is a team that did like Mitch Trubisky. They did like Patrick Mahomes. They did not like Deshaun Watson because they traded out of that spot. It's just who was.
I still think.
Go ahead.
I still think had Ryan Pace not been so quiet about the love for Mitch Trubisky, that there was a chance that they would have traded back up to number two to get him. I still maintain that that was a real possibility, okay. But they did not think the Bears were taking him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they thought that was going to happen.
This is also the team that traded out of the second overall pick last year, right?
Yeah, they're just a disaster.
Because they didn't have the gumption.
To get Carson Wentz.
To take Carson Wentz, so sadly.
Which was their first.
Who's an MVP candidate this year.
And this is the second year of this regime, right? Mm-hmm. So that was their first move. Their first decision. I should say first draft move. Their first decision. Was, we don't think Carson Wentz good enough.
Just so Brownsy. It's just so.
And then this year, even after they lose out on Trubisky, they could have had Watson, and they traded that pick.
Yeah. Now, I get if Deshaun Watson's in Cleveland, he's not doing what he's doing in Houston. Just like if Deshaun Watson was here, he would not be doing
what he's doing
in Houston. Can we just make that clear?
Absolutely.
We can get to that later. But. God, I love this story. It's just so Browns.
It's unbelievable. It's fantastic. All right, and then there was some rumors with the Bears yesterday. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people were hoping that they were going to go out and get another wide receiver.
The Jarvis Landry's of the world. Yeah.
You don't need to do that. But Josh Sitton was kind of randomly rumored.
What were the rumors? That they were taking calls?
Yes.
Not making calls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think there's a considerable difference there.
I don't know what that compensation... I can't imagine it would have been more than a 6th or 7th round pick. Let's remember that the Packers just got rid of him outright.
Mm-hmm.
Just released him.
So let's say you do trade Justin. Who the heck is blocking for your franchise... New face of the franchise, Mr. Trubisky.
Yeah, I think that's a complication.
More than a complication.
But here's the deal. Let me hang on. Let me bring some logic here. What if, and I'm just saying what if they're not convinced that Cody Whitehair's a center? He's been having some snap issues.
He hasn't had him in a couple games. But
that's true. Mm-hmm. Blocking, actually, I thought he had a fine game. The other four guys in the offensive line did not play well, and then Cody Whitehair ended up getting hurt. But while he was out there, I thought he was fine. But I'm just saying, maybe they've had a lot of time to evaluate this guy. If they think he's a guard, and they still like Kronos Grassou, which I don't know,
who's been inactive for the past couple weeks with a busted right hand, am I
right? But I feel like that's more of, I think he could play if he needed to. And he's got the bye week. I'm just saying, if you like Grassou, you think Whitehair's a guard, then it makes sense to trade Sitton.
Okay.
I'm not saying that that's the case. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But maybe,
have we seen enough of Kronos Grassou to trade an all-pro guard? I get that he's not playing to that all-pro level. Josh Sitton is not having that great of a year. Mm-hmm. I get that you want to get rid of a player before it's too late, but...
Well, that's just, I don't know.
You've had a lot of moving pieces already in that offensive line.
But we don't know what those calls were. I mean, if they're for a 7th round pick, I'm probably saying no. If it's a 4th or 5th round pick, which I doubt.
Yeah.
Remember, Matt Slauson, they couldn't get anything for. They tried.
Yeah.
They ended up having to let him go. And this is a veteran who's been around. He's not having a great year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when these rumors came out yesterday, I was like, okay, I could see the logic behind making that trade.
Trade a captain.
Well, all the other captains are out, so.
So Darrell Freeman was the captain.
Darrell
right?
Freeman, captain, IR, now suspended for 10 games.
Mike Glennon's benched.
Mike Glennon
benched. Sherrick McManus hurt.
Quinn Demps, IR.
IR.
That's all of them.
And Josh Sitton, trade. Okay.
Well, not traded, but could have been traded.
Great leadership.
Yeah. You think that's a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Well, it's a problem when none of your captains are homegrown guys, I think, personally.
Yeah, that speaks to the organizational problems of not drafting well. Mm-hmm. Certainly, yeah. All right, well, we should get along to our picks. No Bears game to break down, but we will break down the rest of the NFL and some college games as well. But first, what does the Fox say?
Actually, my feet are very ticklish. What the Fox say?
What are you looking at me like that for?
Is that from yesterday? I missed yesterday.
No, it's from Coffee with Coach.
So he's talking. So
actually, my feet are very ticklish.
So John Fox and Lawrence Creedon, the Bears.
Yeah.
I think very good, exemplary website reporter.
Mm.
That.
Let's call her video reporter.
Yeah.
Larry Mayer's the website reporter.
Okay. In my mind, she's already past Larry in the hierarchy.
We haven't talked about Larry in a few weeks.
Yeah, we got to get him on this podcast. But anyway, what the heck is he talking about with this video? I don't want to know.
They were talking about pedicures. Because Sean Payton paid for his entire team to get pedicures after they won their game the week before. So Lauren asked John if he had ever gotten a pedicure, and he said yes. And then he said,
actually, my feet are very ticklish.
It's gross. Save that one. That's good.
So do you think that Rex Ryan will be the next defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears?
Sticking with the feet thing.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's a little bit different than what John Fox is ticklish and fetish.
It's just my feet are ticklish. Okay, I'm not afraid to say
can
that.
Just talk about football again.
Sure. Sure.
What was, you know, kind of unusual about Brian was he kind of played like a monster man in New Mexico.
John Fox talking about Brian Urlacher. All right, we'll dive into our games. We'll bring Joe Romano in to help us here, too. We'll start with our Monday night game coming up because this is the only NFC North game, and it is the Lions at the Packers, Monday Night Football, 7:30 on ESPN. The Aaron Rodgers factor here has the Lions as a 2.5-point favorite on the road at Lambeau. I should have looked it up. I wonder the last time the Lions were favored in Lambeau. Remember when they won there a few years ago? It was like the first time they had won there in over 20 years. So I can't imagine the last time they were favored at Lambeau. But they are. Packers, 2.5-point home dogs.
Monday night, Brett Hundley. The Lions didn't look too good last week. No.
They've fallen off.
Yeah. I was real high on them early in the season.
I said, you can trust them early in the season. You can't trust them later.
I feel like didn't they have like a 5-game winning streak in like a year ago, kind of midseason?
Yeah.
They're
now 3-4 on the season. Yeah. I don't know. They played the Steelers pretty tough the other night.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty, but
how about the Steelers going from they must be really bad to lose to the Bears to 5-2. Super Bowl contender again.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Give me the Lions.
You're gonna do the Lions?
Yes.
I am too. Packers coming off the bye. But the Lions have lost 3 in a row, which is kind of tough to take a team that's lost 3 in a row. But I don't know. Not having Aaron Rodgers, I find it hard to pick the Pack. So I'm going to go with the Lions. Joe?
I kind of like the Packers in this situation. I know the last time we picked them, I had the same reasoning. But I think 3 weeks for Hundley is a good thing. This is a guy who's been in the system for a long time. And I think he turns it around from the last game. Lions don't have a great secondary. Maybe he picks on it a little bit, and the Packers, as home dogs, get a W at Lambeau.
But you know, these guys are working very hard to conclude this final lap of the preseason tomorrow night against the Saints, and we will proudly stand as a 95th team in the history of the Green Bay Packers when we kick Chicago.
Remember that?
And Mike McCarthy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the greatest quality of audio, but it's what we got on that. That was when they opened up against the Packers, John Fox's first game back in 2015. And McCarthy, I don't think that was supposed to go public, but he did. He was speaking at some event.
Everything's public.
Everything's public. So we move on. Buccaneers at the Saints. A couple of NFC South games to break down here. The Saints, 7-point favorites against a 2-5 Bucks team. I keep finding these lines interesting. Like the Bears, it ended up being 9.5.
I think the Tampa Bay train's close to changing regimes.
They've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah.
That's why you don't go on Hard Knocks. Don't go on Hard Knocks. No. Good things don't happen when you're on Hard Knocks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston's hurt again.
I mean, if the Saints, now the Saints ended up not covering the
Bears.
9
because
well,
it was 9. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I told you. Mm-hmm.
Well, I agreed.
Negative Joe didn't.
I did not.
Negative Joe. You do have that reputation on Twitter, Joe.
Yeah.
Senor Negativity.
I'm going to take the Saints here. Bucks going in the wrong direction. I was impressed with the Saints. Like I said on Sunday, I thought the Saints validated themselves as a good team. And I thought the Bears validated themselves as a competitive team.
Yeah. I agree with you, Saints.
Joe?
Yeah, I like the Saints, too. I'm really interested to watch Marshon Lattimore against Mike Evans. Even if Jameis has some time to throw him the ball, I don't know that he'll be getting open too often. Lattimore was impressive on Sunday, even though the Bears don't really have a wide receiver to throw to. I thought he played really well.
Yeah, he's a good player. I liked him. It was just a hamstring problem.
Yeah. Well, some teams thought it could be chronic, so right. Let's wait and see.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, this was something that nagged him a lot. It wasn't just one hamstring. It was like it went back to high school with
yes,
him.
Yes, yes.
And he runs that 4.35 40 while he pulled his hamstring
yeah.
at the combine. So I both went, wow, he's awesome. And you can't draft him because of his hamstrings. Good player, though. Good player. All right, we move on.
Yeah, I'm not an offense coordinator. I'm not a defense coordinator. I'm not a special teams coordinator, but I coordinate all three.
The Falcons go to Carolina. The Panthers just trading Kelvin Benjamin, but they are a 1.5-point favorite at home. This is a noon game Sunday on Fox.
I don't think the Panthers are a particularly good team. Well, the Bears did beat them.
Yeah.
I just don't.
It's interesting. The Panthers ended up being Tampa by the same score they lost to the Bears.
Yeah.
17-3.
I get why people always, they see the big names, right? Isn't Luke Kuechly still out, though? Your Cam, they see Cam Newton and they think that, I don't get it. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback anymore.
Well, he's got some issues going on, it seems like.
I don't think they're very good. I don't think the Falcons are very good either. I think the best team in that division is the one we just saw in New Orleans, and the Saints, who we just picked,
yeah,
both of us. But, I don't know, give me the Falcons in this one. You could probably lock it up.
Ooh, probably. That doesn't sound very common.
Just lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I just think they went outright.
So the Falcons get a win last week against the Jets. They're in a swing of three straight road games, which is rare. They had lost three in a row before getting right by playing the Jets. Their offense been kind of a mess. Steve Sarkisian, so they're starting to get back in gear. I tend to agree with you that I think Carolina is not a great team.
I think they're overrated.
I wonder if that's why they made this Kelvin Benjamin trade too.
They've realized they're overrated.
Well, I think that they realize that maybe
they have flaws.
They don't have a perfect player in Benjamin that can get some picks that they're going to need going forward. I don't feel great about this game. I certainly would not lock up anything in this game, but I will agree with you on the Falcons.
My, how the mighty have fallen. Can you believe these are the last two teams to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
Oh, that's a good point.
And, I mean, obviously, I don't think any of us would pick them to go to the Super Bowl, but do you think either of them even makes the playoffs?
I think the Falcons still have a chance to turn this around. They're obviously kind of going through the normal Super Bowl losing hangover that most teams seem to have. Not many Super Bowl losers come back to make the playoffs. I say they still have a chance, though.
Yeah, I don't see that division having two representatives in the playoffs, and I think the Saints will win the division. As far as this game goes, I'll take the better quarterback, which isn't by much, but yeah, I'll go with the Falcons and Matty Ice.
Yeah, I think well done, it'd be well said.
The Kansas City Chiefs go on the road to the Dallas Cowboys.
Zeke Elliott is, what is he, suspended again? I don't know.
Yeah.
They've gone through how many states to get this overturned, whatever. He's out, right?
As we record, he is. God. By the time we're done with this podcast, he could be back.
I would hate to be a Dallas Cowboys beat writer right now.
Yeah.
What state are we filing this paperwork? God, it's mind-numbing.
It is. And I don't understand it at all.
Gosh.
Like the Seventh Circuit, the Ninth Circuit, the Fifth Circuit, the Second. Okay. How about the spread is even?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with what the heck's going to happen with Zeke Elliott, right?
The Cowboys have won two in a row. Good win over Washington on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Convincing win over San Francisco a week ago.
Well, come on.
But the Chiefs are good.
Yeah.
Chiefs are a good team. I know Denver had their problems.
They've had their problems for a few weeks.
They're changing quarterbacks, actually. The
Backs and Lynch time?
No, they're going to Osweiler. Brock Osweiler is going to start this week.
What? How bad is Paxton Lynch?
I think he's hurt.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's healthy. So, yeah, that's a disaster there. But anyway, I brought that up because Kansas City beat them the other night.
Handedly.
Yeah. I don't know. Even spread, I know this is in Dallas. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Me too. Even if they were, the line changes and they're given points, give me the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs, too. They're a fun team to watch, you know, regardless of whether they're winning or losing. I mean, if you just watch their games without a scoreboard on there, the Chiefs are one of the most fun teams to watch, you know, in the entire league. If it's a pick 'em, I'm definitely taking the Chiefs.
Okay, how about this, actually, because it has updated in the last hour since I wrote these spreads down. The Cowboys are now a one-point underdog. Does that change anybody's pick?
No.
Chiefs. No, they'll win by more than one.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win this game, too. And you know what?
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
There you go.
I try not to be me in this setting.
Raiders go to Miami. I didn't play the color drop, but is he playing this week?
He should.
I think it's unknown.
I think Adam Gase, though, didn't he say, like, after the game, Jay's going to be back?
Oh, yeah, if he's... Yeah.
We'll play it just because we have to.
It's Jay Cutler.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
So the Raiders... They're favored by 3 here on the road to Miami. The Dolphins had all kinds of problems in that Matt Moore game in Baltimore.
Just traded the running back.
They traded Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like things are going well down there for Adam Gase this year.
No.
Big kind of disaster. This is a 7:30 game Sunday on NBC. So another opportunity to watch the Dolphins if Jay plays.
Yeah, it'd be more. I'd turn it on if Jay played. I'm not watching Matt Moore.
No, you're just not going to do it?
No. I'm not going to do that to myself or my brain cells. So give me the Raiders, even given the points.
How about the Raiders are losing by 20 to the Bills?
Well, the Bills...
Coming off that win against Kansas City, they should have lost that. If they didn't have that kind of miraculous drive where they got some help, multiple penalties by the Chiefs on that drive... This would be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 game losing streak for the Raiders. The Dolphins getting 3 points here. The fact that they're getting the points, if Cutler returns, I think things go better for them. I'm taking the Dolphins.
Are they not allowed to flex games yet? What? Why is this Sunday Night Football?
That's a good point. Oh, you know what? I think I read somewhere that CBS protected the Chiefs-Cowboys game. Because they're allowed to do that. I think I read that CBS locked that one in there so they couldn't lose it because that's the late afternoon national TV game.
Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer.
And then other than that, I don't know what you flex.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're doing the Raiders a favor because they're on the East Coast for the second week in a row, but that doesn't make sense either. Yeah, this is another ugly game. Dolphins just get blown out. Maybe they bounce back. I don't think they do. I'll take the Raiders, and I'll lay the points.
The Raiders. All right. Well, those are the NFL games for this week. There are some interesting college games. Well, the Penn State-Ohio State game didn't go exactly how I predicted.
It's a heck of a game, though.
But Ohio State did win.
Yeah.
Did not cover.
That was a heck of a game.
I didn't see any of it because I was doing a Northwestern game. That was a heck of a game, too. Triple overtime.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I
saw the ending of that, yeah. I saw you on the field looking for somebody to interview.
Yeah.
We saw you with your yellow mic spinning.
Spinning?
You were literally spinning.
There was chaos. It was chaos.
Yeah, it's okay. I understand.
It was chaos.
It was a wild game, but you were on TV caught spinning. It's cool.
I was spinning?
Yeah.
You're
looking this way, looking that way. That's spinning around.
I was looking for people.
I know. You were spinning.
I was looking for Clayton Thorson. I also saw you later in that evening in New Orleans. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
Okay. Just double checking.
It's a big easy.
Isn't it impressive that I can go from on your TV to...
A few hours later?
Where you are in a different city?
It's quite mind-boggling.
It's amazing. Flight travel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, although I almost missed my flight because of triple overtime.
And you had hotel complications.
good
yet
job.
Yet somehow found us. I'm Bourbon Street.
Good job, good effort, Marriott. Yeah. Telling me I didn't have a room when I had a room.
Mm-hmm. The whole time.
I had a room the whole time. Yeah. They didn't bother to look in their computer system. Yeah. Long story.
They're frazzled.
Long story, but I had a bed to sleep in. That was good. So Penn State does lose to Ohio State. Now they go on the road to Michigan State, who lost that triple overtime game to Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Kind of what I thought. I thought Michigan State was just overrated, as I think they were number 16 last week.
They're a good team, but not a...
They're good, but not... Yeah. I mean, and Northwestern's kind of found their groove again. That was a tough game for them to come into Evanston. It was a great football game. So now they go home. They're getting 8.5 at home. This is kind of right where I think this spread should be. Because, again, Michigan State's a good physical team. Penn State's probably more talented across the board.
Yeah.
I think Penn State wins, but 8.5 here, this is a tough call. Especially because both teams are coming off brutal losses.
Yeah, yeah. I would say Penn State's a bit more brutal.
Yeah.
They had that game, even though they maybe not should have had that game, if you know what I mean. All right, give me Michigan State in the points.
I think so, too, just because it's so many. On a game like this where it's I don't really know which way to go. I think this line's right where it's going to be. I'm going to take the home dog. I just think that makes sense. It's the safer way to do it. Joe?
Apparently, the Penn State Nittany Lions had a players-only meeting after the loss to Ohio State. I think
players-only. Yeah. That usually means bad things, by the way.
But I think that's also they saw this coming. They saw not the loss, but they saw this can unravel quickly unless we get our heads on straight. I think the players-only meeting happening after Ohio State rather than after Michigan State is a good thing, and they cover the spread in East Lansing.
All right, so Joe's going with Penn State.
Josh, who's the best meat smoker of your offensive line?
What do you mean by meat smoker?
Pat's laugh is still the best part of that. Number four, Clemson. I'm not going to be Wisconsin guy complaining about the rankings. I'm going to try not to be. But how does Clemson losing to Syracuse end up fourth in the college football playoff rankings? Does anyone else have a problem with that?
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Syracuse. You don't get punished for that? You just get a freebie? I don't understand that. Wisconsin gets punished for not playing anybody, but apparently losing to a bad team is better than that. I don't understand the logic.
Why don't you just keep going?
I just don't understand the logic.
I love Bucky coffee cup up here. Just
look, They've played nobody. How about I saw a Big Ten Network graphic that said that Wisconsin's two best wins were Northwestern and Florida Atlantic. How do you feel about that if you're Nebraska?
Yeah.
They beat Nebraska on the road at night, and that doesn't even get counted as Wisconsin's second best win. I mean, that is an insult.
Like we were talking earlier.
That is an insult to Nebraska. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Florida Atlantic? Lane Kiffin's team, by the way. Mm-hmm. All right, so number four, Clemson. I do think they've figured it's a good football
team. Clemson is good. Kelly Bryant's back.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost to Syracuse. When did he leave in that game? Did he leave like in the second quarter?
Yeah.
He didn't make it through.
I'm sorry. That's Syracuse. You don't lose that
game. Wasn't it like a Thursday night game too or something?
Friday night.
So it's kind of, it's flukish. I mean, Clemson is up there, in my opinion, in terms of your Alabamas, your Ohio States, again.
I understand that from a talent standpoint, but this system's flawed if you don't get punished for losing. You still should have to win games.
Against Florida Atlantic and a bad Nebraska team and Northwestern.
Let me ask you this. Which game's harder? At Syracuse on a Friday night or at Nebraska?
I would say...
At Nebraska?
I would say, well, Nebraska's garbage.
Syracuse! Okay. It's Syracuse!
You lost your quarterback. It's a random Friday night game.
That does
mean something, man.
So you're saying that losing at Syracuse is better than winning at Nebraska?
Right now, in my opinion, yes. Yes.
Joe, help me out here. Joe, that's absurd.
They lost their quarterback.
That's absurd. You lost the game.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with these rankings. I feel like sometimes they put it out there just to get people talking about it, and then, you know, when the season ends, they're like, oh, well, you know, looking back, that was just what we felt at that time. What's the point of releasing rankings if you don't actually think Clemson is number four in the nation? And are you trying to motivate Wisconsin to beat people by more than what they're beating people by? The whole thing is convoluted.
I guess the reason I don't have a problem with it is I just generally think Clemson's a better team than Wisconsin.
I get that
should be punished for loss, but they're a better team.
I do too. Yeah, I look at the rosters and I do too. But this can't all be played on paper. You can't just play. Then why play the season?
Well,
just Just put the four best teams at the start of the year in the playoff and go.
I know what you mean?
Like, there has to be.
Clemson's a better team.
You have to be rewarded and punished based on what you do. That should matter. It's ridiculous. Losing at Syracuse is better than winning at Nebraska. That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Make
all right. Anyway, Clemson. I haven't even said what the game is. Your Wisconsin Badgers helmet
and your Wisconsin Badgers scarf is hanging on the wall.
Clemson at number 20, NC State. NC State ended up getting crushed by Notre Dame last week.
Yes, they did. Notre Dame was. That might be awfully good.
This is a 2:30 game Saturday on ABC. And NC State is a 7.5-point underdog at home. I think Clemson's figured their stuff out. I do think NC State's a talented team. But I did go.
I love how you're picking Clemson after all that. Go ahead.
I just admitted Clemson's a better team than Wisconsin.
Just say it. I'm picking Clemson, too.
Okay, Clemson. Joe?
Yeah, I got Clemson, too. I talked about it last week. NC State hadn't played anybody walking into Notre Dame. They didn't deserve the number 14 ranking. Maybe they're a top 25 team, but I think Clemson blows the doors off at NC State. And the phone's ringing. Don't know who that is.
Who is it? You should pick it up and see who it is.
Hello. It's probably another voicemail.
Yeah.
That question don't make no sense.
Number 5, Oklahoma, speaking of teams that apparently do not get punished for losing, they lost to Iowa State. At home, I believe, right?
Weren't you just singing Iowa State's praises last week?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and by the way, they ended up beating TCU, like I said.
Okay, okay.
Iowa State's a good team.
Okay.
You still lost to them at home. And you're the number 5 team in the country, according to the committee.
I don't know about you, Joe. I'm sensing some Badger angst here.
Badger my ass.
Badger my ass. And who did Oklahoma State lose to again? They lost to TCU. At home, too.
At home, yeah.
But they're number 11. So they get punished for losing, but Oklahoma doesn't. Does that make sense to you?
You just want to punish all losers.
Yeah. No, but there's the hypocrisy right there.
I think part of that is the conference, though.
All right, who's a better football team, Oklahoma or the Badgers?
They're in the same conference.
No, between Oklahoma and and Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. Well, and by the way, Oklahoma did beat Ohio State, so on the road. So yeah. They should get credit for that. I'm not. It's just, come on. All right, so Oklahoma at Oklahoma State, Bedlam.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's favored, though? Vegas thinks the team that's number 11 is better. Well, they are at home.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, 2.5-point favorite at home. This is a 3 o'clock game Saturday on Fox Sports 1.
This strikes me as a Baker Mayfield plant the flag in the middle of the 50-yard line.
Mason Rudolph's pretty good, too.
I know he is. I know he is. Doesn't Greg Gabriel love him some Mason Rudolph? Someone does.
I think he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both these teams can put up a lot of points.
Yeah. Give me Baker Mayfield and the points. I think they win.
You think Oklahoma wins?
I think they win.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma State. I think they have the better defense. I think Oklahoma's given up a lot of points this year, but the difference is the Cowboys have been able to get stops. This is at home. I'm taking the team with the defense, Oklahoma State.
I'm taking Oklahoma. I don't think they need the points, but I'll take them. Lock it up.
You guys are...
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
You guys should be on the committee. You guys just look at the, you know, the program name.
Yep, the rankings. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
You just go.
Have they
Ohio been State, Notre Dame, Alabama, Oklahoma. Yeah, let's just put them all. Just Georgia. Just throw them all in there. That's another thing. How is Georgia ranked higher than Alabama? Are you watching football? Like, Georgia's having a great year, but Alabama, of course, that's probably hypocritical of me because Georgia has
a real
better
win.
Yeah. They have the better wins. Okay. Fine. This will all get sorted out. It'll all get sorted out.
It's early in this.
I love it. Here's the best part, though. I do love these arguments. The fact that it's good that they don't release these rankings throughout the year. I think you do have to wait till midseason,
right?
Like
until you know something a little bit more.
But and I do like that they do it because it gives us something to talk about and argue about.
Who did you lock up, by the way?
I locked up the the Falcons, right?
Yeah.
No, I locked up the Chiefs. Chiefs. The Chiefs in Dallas.
Gotcha.
Or as Joe, we call them the Chefs.
The Chefs, yeah.
Yeah.
John's locked up with a maybe. How do you lock up a maybe?
Yeah,
I didn't like these. Somebody decided to send out the games an hour before I got here. You know?
Yeah. I'm sure you put in a lot less work into them than you usually do.
No, I was briefed. Big Ten games I can handle. I actually watch a lot of Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma.
I don't like making picks on Wednesday. I like Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something.
Well, tell the Bears to practice on a Thursday.
No, I'm fine with not. I don't want to have practice tomorrow.
No.
I'm good.
I want to buy. I want to buy this week.
Hey, Lovey, how you doing?
Hey, Lovey. Hey,
Lovey.
Hey, Lovey.
How's everybody doing?
Poor Lovey.
If you just, you know, zero in on that laugh, it's actually quite evil.
It is. I just feel bad for Lovey. He looks so cold and miserable down in Champaign.
He's got a lot of work ahead of him.
Just, he's all bundled up and just looks sad. No one should be banished to Champaign. That's just mean. I don't like it. All right. Anything else we need to get in here? I think we covered it all. Bye week.
Yeah. Let's get away. Yeah. Take a break. Come back next week, Thursday.
Obviously, no post-game episode this week because there is no game. We will come back, though, next week, talk, you know, kind of preview the second half of the season as well as the Packer game. I think Jim Rose forgot that there's no bye week. You weren't at Hallis yesterday. He kept asking about the Packers.
Really?
Oh. I was kind of wondering if he didn't realize there was a bye. It was interesting. It was like,
I don't even want to say anything.
You got Zach Miller, Jarrell Freeman. You got all these stories, and then it was like, the Packers don't have Aaron Rodgers.
Thoughts?
Yeah. All right.
No comment.
There's a bye week, though. There is a bye week. The Packers are playing the Lions on Monday Night Football. All right, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano. He does a great job. At Joey Joe Rowe, WGNRadio.com/Bears. My 10 Bears things will be up there later. Adam's columns at ChicagoSunTimes.com. You can search Hogan Johns on iTunes and subscribe there. Please rate and review it if you can. We're on TuneIn. We're on the WGN Radio app. We're pretty much wherever you listen to your podcast. Our voicemail line, 312-222-5050. There's no game this week, but if you miss us, you can leave us a message. Sure. We'll talk to you next week.
Actually, my feet are very ticklish.